So my brothers and sisters, I just got in from Jerusalem at 6:30 a.m. this morning. And because I'm a young guy, I'm right back at it. This could be short, and I don't know how sweet it can be, but it may be short tonight. So last Sunday, I was in Bethlehem. And as you know, it's West Bank. That whole area is cordoned off by a wall. As you know, walls are continuing to prop up across this world, sadly enough. And the Palestinians are on one side, and our Jewish brothers and sisters are on the other. And this community in Aramaic celebrates beautiful liturgy every Sunday in a church that's right up against that seminary that the patriarch for the whole area of Jordan and Palestine and all of Israel, actually, all of it, an amazing place. And we were 325 of my newest best friends in that community last Sunday. And a wonderful pastor, young guy, full of energy. And I don't know what he said, but it sounded terrific. he was really on fire. And he had, you know, Archbishop Gomez was there, and he had priests from London and priests from France and priests from the United States. Didn't faze him at all. He just fired away. So it was really a great celebration. One of the things that I thought was good for me just to share with you is that we had, 325 people. It was an archdiocesan thing. And while I enjoyed it, you know, I felt very lonely in that group because, I met all kinds of wonderful new people, but it's so different than when I go with this community over the last 15 of the 16 times that I've gone. And I just wanted to share that with you, that I am so blessed, so lucky to be a pastor that has a family and a community, and I love you so much. And it was great to remember that in the midst of meeting lots of wonderful new people from this archdiocese. I've had a wonderful guide, Sammy, for so many years, and he's just terrific, but he was cordoned off by Monsignor Conley, my dear friend, so he had his bus, and I got a new young Christian, and he was wonderful. Maher was his name, and just a young guy, a young adult, and he was full of fire, and so it was great. I mean, I learned a lot from him, and so it was a wonderful experience. One place that I had not gone to very often, just this last time, was Shechem. It's the place where the well, that great well, where that woman came out at noon and met Christ, brought the whole community, and he stayed there in Samaria, his bitter enemy, the Jewish bitter enemy, Samaritans, but he stayed there, and he shared his faith and his life with those people. And I met Justinus, who was an old pastor that had been there, 40 or 50 years, and he built this gigantic Greek Orthodox church right over the well. And I said to him, Justinus, how did you do this? He said, it was God. So I said, well, that's good. Anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful journey. Great to be home. I'm a bit weary tonight, so let me just try to give you a little thought or two about this gospel. I don't want to waste your time, but I just felt that, you know, that opening line, most of the accounts of Jesus don't do that. He gives you the synopsis of the story ever before you get the story. And I'm sure you remember these words, but this is what he said in the beginning. He said, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. So I think it's easy for us to think about and to reflect on the persistent woman in prayer. That's the shrined model of our faith. That this woman, pestering, continuing to pray, consistent in her force, made this judge finally make a decision that was a just decision. He was an unjust judge. He was a man that didn't care, it says the scriptures, didn't care about God, he didn't care about anybody. But just because of the persistence of this woman, he had justice for her. And of course, that's what we can easily see and celebrate, that our persistent prayer is important. But I think that's not the gospel, actually. While I think persistence in prayer is important for all of us, I think the second part of it is equally important. Never lose heart. So just as a widow, at that particular time in the life of Jesus, she was a nobody. A widow and a woman in that community at that particular time had no voice. So the only thing she had was her persistence. And it just wore this guy down until finally he made a just decision. And interestingly enough, the wearing down, that's not really the right term. We've translated it to be worn down. What it really means is to give this guy a black eye. That's what it means. The wearing down means he'd get a black eye. But the black eye meant, and the thing that probably changed his mind, really wasn't the persistence of the widow. It was more the fact that he wanted people to feel that he was a just judge. He wasn't a just judge. He was a lousy guy. Didn't care about anybody. But his reputation was so important for him that if he didn't give this woman a just sentence, he was afraid she'd just persist, continue to complain, and actually cause him to lose his reputation in that community. So I think that's what it really means. Now, the part that I would just share with you for just a couple of moments tonight, certainly persistence in prayer, but I think to never lose heart is equally important. I know that many people get very involved in issues of justice, and I think in our time, and I just came from a tragedy that continues and belies any kind of resolution in Israel. It's a tragedy what's happening in that nation and all actually of the Middle East. So there is great need. But I was thinking of this never losing heart in relationship to another part of the gospel. At Gethsemane, you know, the Last Supper? If you remember, our Lord goes out to pray, and he prays for a long extended period of time with Peter, James, and John. And what do? They fall asleep. Now, I know none of you have ever done that to your pastor. Let me look at your eyes. Anyway, so he wakes them up and says to them, stay with me. He goes back and prays again. They're not praying, they're sleeping. He comes back again and they're still sleeping. A third time, he goes back to those dearest friends and they're still asleep. What happens? The soldiers come. Judas kisses the Messiah, the Master. He looks at Judas and says, do you betray the Master with a kiss? And the guards seize him. What happens? Peter pulls out a sword and he lobs off the ear of one of the soldiers. What's Jesus' response? Peter, put your sword back. He takes the ear and reattaches it to the body of a guy that's going to kill him. That's the truth. That's what he does. And it strikes me that that's at the center of this gospel. You see, We can be people of justice. We can be people of righteousness. We can be people of integrity. But if we lose our heart, what happens to us? We get angry. We become violent. We become as violent as the violence that we're attacking. We become miserable people. You see, justice and peace comes when we don't lose heart. So it seems to me that this woman is not only a woman about persistence, she's a woman who teaches us how we, you and I, must live our lives. Not out of anger. People can be so self-righteous. I can be so self-righteous. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to me. Why? You see, to me, that only begets more violence, more anger, more dismay. When I was talking to the Jews and Palestinians this trip, what were they saying to me? There's a hospital right next to Notre Dame where we stay. And I've never gone into that hospital. I've been there. This is my 16th visit. I've passed by it every single time. This time I said to Monsignor Conley, let's go in. And we went in. And we met this sister Monica. I told her about you. She was a wonderful woman. You know what she said to me? She said to me that in that hospital, and she showed me rooms, Muslims, Jews, Christians, they're not just in a bed together for a day or two, they're living there, sometimes for years, together. Why? Well, it's a hospice. They're near death. And at the time of death, as we grow older in our years or get near that time of death, we see things in a very different way. Our lives change. Our values change. We're not just looking at ideologies. We're looking at people. She told the story. Listen to this story, folks. I said I wasn't going to talk too long, but I'm wound up now. She tells this story about a Jewish man who had Alzheimer's. And he comes into the hospital, to this St. Joseph's Hospital. And he fixated in his mind was this word, the Messiah will come, the Messiah will come, the Messiah will come. And he kept repeating and repeating. Well, he met an old sister in the hospital who also had a little dementia, and she kept saying right back to him, the Messiah has already come. The Messiah has already. So they kind of had to be separated from each other. He stayed in that hospital for years, 2 or 3, 4 years. His wife came every single day, except, of course, on the Shabbat, because on the Shabbat they can't drive a car. And it was on the Shabbat that he died. And so he died without her, a woman who had been so attentive to her husband for so long. And so the sisters got in the car, went over to the house, told the woman they had to bury him that night. Orthodox Jews buried that night, was buried. A week of full, they had to stay, you know, by themselves in some kind of prayer and recovery. And she came back to the hospital and she said, you know, sister, I felt sad that I wasn't there for my husband's death. He was a Jewish person. But she said, you know, he was fixated with those words, the Messiah will come. But thank God, in his last days, he lived in a community that honored and respected that. He didn't die alone. He died with his family. You are his family. So in that community, people are living and dying who are expecting the Messiah, and people who already believe the Messiah has come. I hope it doesn't take old age for that to happen. My brothers and sisters, that's the gospel tonight. Persistent prayer. But don't forget, never lose heart.